Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And my partner on this radio program and good friend is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We're broadcasting on the HPR network on KATX 97.7 and also on KNNK 100.5 and also on internet radio at knowthetruthradio.org. And our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make, we encourage you to call our toll-free number. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or if you prefer numbers, the number to call is 855-722-4253. You can also email us your questions or comments at questions@harrisonmoore.org. And if you're on the internet radio, you can also chime into the chat box. And there you can discuss with us anything on your mind and questions. And so we're delighted to have you in our audience. And we also want to remind you of our sponsors, along with the Hillcrest Church of Christ and the Park Heights Church of Christ. We also are sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and also the 4th and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. David, it is that time of year again when the days become shorter and darkness punches in earlier at the time clock, and just like clockwork, a great number of people fall into a predictable set of symptoms round about right now, and they slow down. They have a tough time waking up in the morning. They can't fall asleep at night. Their energy levels decrease, and they have fatigue. Depression sets in, and many clinicians call this seasonal affective disorder.
Now, that doesn't mean anything to a lot of people from the country.
That's right. For us country folk, it simply means they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
They got the blues. They're
right.
Going into depression. And many of this, these symptoms, David, come on as a result of, you know, around the holiday season.
Right.
We begin to think about our loved ones that have gone on to their reward, and we miss them, and we think about them, and maybe through financial distress because we've overspent at Christmas or because we didn't have enough that we wanted to use on presents. And maybe we're having some kind of a physical ailment in our life. And all of these things can cause people to be unhappy. And, you know, the problem is, David, that the world tells us that our happiness is dependent upon being wealthy, or it's dependent upon being healthy. But the Bible says something much different in regard to happiness, doesn't it, David?
No doubt, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. You know, you and I both have talked to a lot of people that claim that they're happy as they can be because they have a big bank account, or they're happy as they can be because they have a fine job and live in a big house and drive in a brand new car. And some of these people are the most unhappy people in the world because they don't have the happiness that the Bible speaks about. Now, when we look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So everything we ever wanted to know about life and everything that we ever wanted to know about godliness is given to us in the Bible here. And what we see when we look out here at the people of the world, we see the same kind of cycle in their lives that we saw in the lives of the Israelites that the Bible tells us about all the way back at the beginning of the time that they were spending in a promised land that God gave them everything that they could possibly desire as far as the physical and the material goes, and yet for some reason, they were unhappy.
Exactly. They had forgotten about God, hadn't
right.
they?
They absolutely
You
had.
Know, that vicious cycle that you mentioned there is really spelled out for us in Judges chapter 2, where
mm-hmm.
they were got themselves involved in sin, and as a result of that, God sent them into servitude. They began to make supplication or prayer unto the Lord, then the Lord raised up a judge and bring about salvation. That vicious cycle went all the way through the book of Judges, and sadly, David, that vicious cycle is still around with us today.
No doubt. But there's not an individual that you or I know, and I don't care who he is or who she is, there's not an individual on the face of this earth that does not want to be happy.
Exactly.
And that is the grand subject that we're talking about tonight, is happiness. How to be happy. How to spend our days in happiness. And to do this, we're going to have to get away from what man has said, and we're going to have to get back to our motto. You have heard what men have had to say. Men have had to say that happiness comes from material things, material wealth, and physical health, and a great job and a great health. That's what man has to say, and you've heard what they've had to say. Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say about man's happiness.
Exactly.
And for this, we're going to go to a text. And the text, for those of you who are out there that are in a place where you can turn to the Bible, we would ask that you turn to the 34th Psalm, because here is where we're going to get the text of our lesson tonight. How to be happy, and these are instructions from God, instructions from the Bible. And we're going to read verses 11, 12, and 13 and 14. Verse 11 says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life, loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Now that is God's recipe for happiness. And there's not a person in this world that does not want to be happy. But there are not very many people in this world that can understand what God's talking about here in order to be happy, Tom.
Exactly. You know, and this principle that the psalmist speaks of here in Psalm 34 is also restated again in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it says, "For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication, but the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil." You see, David, happiness, according to the psalmist and also Peter, is something that really results from following God. And happiness is the grand subject
mm-hmm.
of these two passages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something we really long for, isn't it?
Sure it is.
We want to be... Nobody in their right mind wants to be sad.
Nobody does.
Nobody in their right mind wants to be depressed. Everybody wants to be happy. But the trouble is, David, many times people are looking for happiness in all the wrong places.
Sure. Well, it's no accident that people are happy. People don't get happy by accident. People don't get happy because they don't pursue it. Happiness is something that must be planted, and it must be cultivated, and it must be watered in our lives. And he that desires life and loves many days is going to have to do certain things. And that's part of the question that is asked. Who is it that desires life? Who is it that desires many days? Well, there's not a person that's happy that doesn't desire life. But the unhappy person, he doesn't desire life. There's nothing about life that he does desire. He's unhappy. It doesn't make any difference what he does.
You know, that's the cause for a lot of suicide
mm-hmm.
in our world, too. They're
mm-hmm.
not happy with life. They don't want to be in this world anymore. And so they take their own life because they're so extremely unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than being unhappy. But the psalmist tells us how to truly be happy. And really, David, the first thing he tells us in regard to being happy, do you really want to be happy? He says, then lend an ear to God. He says, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Now, that's a problem with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
you mention God, or you mention the Bible, you mention the Word of God to somebody, and all of a sudden they'll stick their hands up in your face and say, I don't want to hear any more about that. I don't want you to say any more about that. But God says, if you want to be happy, if you are actually desiring life and loving many days, the first thing you're going to have to do is listen to me.
Exactly.
He says, hearken unto me, I will teach you to fear the Lord. Now, that's in verse number 11 of the text that we read. Now, there's another part of this that Jesus carries through with over here in the New Testament, isn't there?
Exactly. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus says, take heed, therefore, how you hear.
Okay, so then we have an admonition from God over here in 34, in Psalm 34. And the first admonition is lays an emphasis on what you hear. Now, what you hear is going to have to come from the Word of God.
Exactly. You know, and that's where we get ourselves into trouble, because we're listening to all types of sources.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to make you happy. That's going to make you happy. But the psalmist says, you listen to God if you really want to know what true happiness is. So there is a what to listen to, but also there's a second part.
And that's how to listen. Take heed how you hear. But getting back to that what to listen to for just a moment, let me just make this one observation. If you watch television, and there's not a whole lot to watch on television anymore, but if all you watched was the commercials, everything on there that they have as a commercial is trying to tell you, man is trying to tell you that you're unhappy without whatever they have, whatever they have to sell. If you don't have that beer, you're going to be unhappy. If you don't have this job, you're going to be unhappy. If you don't have this education, if you don't have that car, you're going to be the most unhappy person for Christmas.
If you don't have a woman in each arm.
It's just a relentless, the types of things that man throw out there that says that you're going to be unhappy without this. Now, God says, if you want to be happy, listen to what I'm saying. And so the first admonition is about what you hear. The second admonition from Jesus is, be careful how you hear. Give heed to how you hear.
You know, and careful how you hear means that we're going to be listening to the instruction of how to fear the Lord
at
the right attitude, right? You know, sometimes we let something goes in one ear and out the other ear, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're not really listening. We're not really careful that we're heeding the instruction. So it's not just the instruction, but are you really willing to heed the instruction? That's
right.
The how.
Right. Now, now, be careful to what you hear or how to hear it there has to do there also with listening very attentively and very sympathetically. And if we want to be happy, this is the first step that we've got to go to. We've got to go to God's Word. That's what we've got to hear. And then we've got to do it right. We've got to be careful as to how we hear it. Now, you're listening to the HBR Network, and you're also listening to the KnowTheTruthRadio.org broadcast all over the world. And we welcome your calls. Our telephone call, our telephone number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. It is a toll-free number. Won't cost you a penny. If you want numbers, it's 855-722-4253. You can call this number. Won't cost you a dime. We'll pick up the tab on your telephone call. But we want you to call in. We want you to get in on this conversation. We are talking about how to be happy according to God, not according to man. Man has always missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a temporary happiness. There's nobody that ever won the lottery that wasn't real happy for just a little while, but it will soon fade away, just like everything else fades away. And the first part of the recipe as to how to be happy is found in the 34th Psalm, when he says there in the very beginning, he says, come, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, that's the first thing that we have to do. Now, the second part is we need to learn how to rule our speech. And that's found there in verse number 13, Tom, where he says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile.
You know, the evils of the tongue are almost innumerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can think of a lot of things where people speak evil with their tongue and bring... And as a result of that, David, as a result of speaking evil, they bring about much misery and unhappiness in their life.
Right.
How many lives have been destroyed and unhappiness brought into their lives because of speaking lies, the evils of falsehood. How many marriages have gone sour because one spouse was lying to the other about this or that?
Well, you know, we were talking about this earlier today, and how many lives have been ruined by just angry words?
Yeah.
And when we talk about angry words, we were kind of kicking this around a little bit, and you gave me an illustration about a fable that was told, and there's a lot of truth in that fable as far as the application as it goes with angry words. Well, won't you recount that for us?
There was a young man in an ancient village, and he once said something evil against a friend. And so he goes to the village wise man and asks him what he needs to do to make this thing right. Well, the village wise man told him to take a bag of feathers and to go around to every house in the village and lay a feather at the door of each house in the village. Well, that young boy was kind of puzzled about it, but he went ahead and did what the wise man said and went around and laid a feather at the door of each home in the village. He comes back and says, I've done what you asked me to do. Now what do I need to do now? He says, now I want you to go back, and I want you to pick up all those feathers. The young boy was a little taken back and says, well, but by now, all the feathers are going to be gone. He says, yes, and so it is true with your words. Once your words have been said, you can never get them back.
And so when we're talking about ruling our speech, we're talking about controlling our tongue, having the temperance, and keeping our tongue from evil. And that's what the psalmist says in verse number 13. When we look at the evils of the tongue, as you mentioned just a moment ago, there you can't count them all. And we don't have enough time in this broadcast to go through every one of them. But let's just talk about the evil of falsehood. The evil of falsehood. The evil of speaking lies. How many lives have been ruined because of the lies that have been told? How many ruined marriages? How many children's lives have been destroyed because of the lies that have been told? I don't know that you could count them all. But I do know this: when we look at what God has to say about lies, in many things God is speaks in generalities, but when it comes to speaking lies, there's nothing general about it. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and verse number 27, talking about those individuals who will be in heaven, he says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Now, that's pretty general.
Mm-hmm.
Neither whatsoever works abomination. Now, that's pretty general as well. We know it's bad. But when he gets to the next point, he says, there won't be anybody in heaven that makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what he's telling us here, if we are a liar, a habitual liar, and refuse to repent of the lying life and the lying tales that we tell, then we can't go to heaven.
Exactly. You know, and lying seems to be something that people do at will today.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the association that the Bible puts with liars. When you think about who's going not to be in heaven, in Revelation 21 and verse 8, it says, for the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look at the association that liars are with. We're talking about murderers and fornicators and idolaters. I'm serious about that.
And we have to follow, verse, seek every man the truth with his neighbor, for we... So this is just one of the evils of lying, and we could just go on and on and on. There's all this. But then there's the evil of vulgarity and the evil of profanity. And if you get in a conversation, just a regular conversation with somebody down at the coffee shop, it's very, very seldom that you ever get into a conversation with a person that lives in the world on a daily basis that doesn't just lace his conversation with profanity, with description of vulgarity, chuckle about it, and it's nothing to chuckle about.
And there's the difference, David,
mm-hmm.
between happiness, as so-called happiness of the world. The world
right.
says, let's be happy and let's cuss like a sailor. I hope I'm not offending any sailors, but that's the old phrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cussing like a sailor, or always telling dirty jokes. There's the happiness and joy in being vulgar. The Bible says no. True happiness is found in controlling our speech.
Right, and in purity and the innocence. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what God wants. And if we will do that, minister grace unto the hearers, mm-hmm. we will actually make them happy, and in return we're going...
Exactly. Now, what has is... happiness, as God sees it, is
mm-hmm.
much different.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Psalm 34. True happiness is found by, first of all, listening to God, to what he has to say. And we're talking about now being able to control our speech, not be involved in lying, and not be full of vulgarity and profanity. And also involved in this ruling our speech, David, mm-hmm. is that of fault finding. People who are always finding fault with people, and they can do that by the things that they say.
Sure.
And then there's slander and the telling of half-truths and sowing discord among the brethren. There's nothing, David, that's more irritating to me and causes more unhappiness than people who are causing trouble with one another, and especially among God's people.
Well, when you're stirring up trouble in the church, you're just trying to cause trouble in the church and trying to tear down the church. That's exactly what all that is about, and that is one of the things that God speaks about that he actually hates. There are some things that are outlined in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning there in verse number 16. That we are told specifically that God hates. In verse 16, he says, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Now, when you look at that, and God is telling you straight up here, I hate those things, and yet you still go out there with your tongue, and you do the things that God hates, mm-hmm. what are you thinking?
Well, that's not going to bring true happiness.
No, no, it's not going to bring true happiness.
And remember, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. If you have a question or a comment, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. QA Bible. David, if we really want to be happy, we're going to have to lend our ear to God. We're going to have to be willing to control our speech.
Right.
But the psalmist also says that we need to be able to control our conduct.
Well, before we even get there, we still got to control our lips. Verse number 13.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get back up there in verse number 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile.
Mm-hmm.
Your lips from speaking guile. Now that guile there is deceit and flattery and pretense and insincerity. And who was it that wrote this? Sir Walter Scott, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
So our speech really causes lots of unhappiness, doesn't it?
There is absolutely no doubt about
it. Not only for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but for those others whom we are speaking evil of.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. And this brings us to our next point that you mentioned just a moment ago. We need to order our conduct. The point that he's making here, ordering our conduct, and he says in verse number 14, depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil, and it's not good enough just to get away from evil. We've got not only to get away from evil, and then we've got to do good with our time.
You know, isn't it amazing that people don't realize that unhappiness is brought about by sin?
Mm-hmm.
It's brought about by being disobedient to God's law.
Mm-hmm.
When God says that you're to be faithful and true to your wife all the days of your life, and then you cheat on her, what do you expect to happen?
Well, there can't be anything good come out of it.
It's going to be unhappiness,
surely,
right?
Surely.
And when we lie, when we do things that are evil, any kind of conduct that is contrary to God's law if not at that very moment, eventually is going to bring unhappiness in our life, and most assuredly, eternal unhappiness.
Sure. And that's a biggie. But what a lot of people do not understand is that happiness and disorderly conduct do not go together.
Exactly.
Happiness and disorderly conduct. Now, if you think about that for a little bit, you know, you look at what men are doing, and you look at some of the things that they're, it looks like they're having a lot of fun, it looks like they're happy, but happiness and disorderly conduct do not go together. And let me just give you an illustration. I challenge anybody to go down to the jailhouse, go down to your local jailhouse or the county jailhouse, and you just look at anybody that's in there spending time for their disorderly conduct, you ask them how happy they are. Happiness and disorderly conduct do not go together. It certainly didn't go together when I was growing up. If I was violating my conduct, if I was disorderly in my conduct, I got unhappy real quick because my grandfather made sure that I knew that I was supposed to be unhappy while I was disorderly in my conduct.
Exactly. And so, in a negative sense, we are to depart from evil.
Right.
Evil includes every transgression of the divine law. In a positive sense, we are to be involved in doing good.
Right.
Doing good brings happiness. And God has so ordered things that happiness comes only to those who, like the Lord Jesus, go about doing good.
Right.
You know, it's not only good for us, it's good for others. It makes other people happy, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does. And there is something that we can always remember. We cannot outgive God.
Exactly.
So God is the giver of our happiness. And if we give happiness back to somebody, we're going to get it back. It's a promise by God. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Let me read you this to you, Tom. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, with all it is measured to you again." So if we go and we do good and we make other people happy by our doing good and we stay away from that evil, in other words, we are really, really paying attention to our conduct and how it is that we conduct ourselves around other people and around in front of God. There's no way that we're going to hide ourselves from God. And so he tells us there are two things that we've got to do. We've got to depart from evil, and then we've got to do good.
You know, the Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, Solomon says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days."
Right.
Helping others is going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Helping others be happy makes us happy.
Right.
You know, I at Christmas time, some of the greatest joys I ever had is to see my grandkids open their presents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy when I see them happy.
Right.
We spread that by our actions. We can be happy by making other people happy if we're doing the right thing.
No doubt about it. One last thing that we need to see here about being happy. The next point that he makes here is to promote peaceful relationships. Right there in the text, he says, "Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it." You know, Jesus preached this sermon on his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Blessed are the peacemakers. And those are the individuals that are seeking peace. Those are the individuals that are pursuing peace. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And then in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19, he says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Now, Tom, peace does not come to those people who stand around and wait for it.
Exactly.
Peace comes to the people who seek it in all earnestness and those who pursue it. You see, because peace is a very, very elusive thing. Not everybody has peace in their life, but to those who do have peace, they went out and aggressively sought it by seeking it and pursuing it. And this is the prescription for being happy in God's way and in God's Word. Now, this is what he tells us to do. Now, when we're about to take a break, and we want to alert the the stations. We're about to take a break. When we come back from that break, what we're going to do is give you the results of God's prescription for being happy. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartment ship could float with some water and its holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine and some continued dancing and enjoy the music were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Okay, we're back on our 97.7 KTX in Eastland and 100.5 KNNK in Hereford, Texas, the High Plains Radio Network. We're also on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. That is our internet radio station, and we are broadcasting live and from Studio 6 at Stephenville, Texas, at the Hillcrest Church of Christ. And we welcome your calls today. The toll-free number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE, 855-72, and spell out Bible on your telephone, B-I-B-L-E. Or you can email questions at harrisonmoore.org, or if you don't want to do that, get on the internet, knowthetruthradio.org. You can get on the chat box. We know there are a lot of people listening tonight. They're busy, got both hands full. This is the last night of 2012, and we want to encourage you to have a better year next year, 2013, and we are talking about God's prescription for happiness, and the prescription is found in the 34th Psalm, verses 11 through 19. Now, what we did, Tom and I were here on the first portion of this hour. What we did is we gave the prescription, God's prescription, for how to be happy. And the first part of it was lend his ear. If you will, Tom, would you read for us the 34th Psalm, verses 11 through 14? And then we'll just hit the high spots of that.
In Psalm 34, beginning in verse 11, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of Jehovah. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Here's how you do it. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it."
Okay, so what we have here is genuine happiness that we're talking about here, and it doesn't come by accident, it doesn't come unbidden. Happiness has got to be planted, it's got to be watered, it's got to be cultivated, and he that desires life and loves many days is going to have to lend his ear to God, and that means that he's going to have to listen to what he has to say and how he has to say it. How we hear is going to be a very, very important part of this.
You know, and loving days is just another way of saying happiness, isn't it?
Right.
Because if you're not happy, you don't love the day.
No.
You don't like today. You don't like your life. You don't like things. To be happy, we're going to have to listen to God.
Right.
We're going to have to watch what we say, and we're going to have to watch what we do.
And that would cause for us to rule our speech. And that is the second part of the admonition there. Keep your tongue from evil, and then your lips from speaking guile. So we've got to rule our speech here, and the second thing that he wants us to do, or the third thing that he wants us to do, is order our conduct. It matters what we do. It matters how we do not want to be offensive to other people. We don't want to be offensive to is order our conduct the way that God would have it done. And so he says there, depart from evil and do good. Stop doing that which is wrong and start doing that which is right. And finally, he says, the latter part of the prescription is to seek peace and pursue it.
Don't you think that would be a byproduct of doing good and doing the right things?
Well, sure it would be.
You know, how can you be at peace with yourself and at peace with one another if you're always involved in doing evil? Or if you're always involved in speaking evil?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not willing to follow God's prescription? What peace is there going to be? What happiness is there going to be?
There can't be any. As a matter of fact, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, when you hear people call other people Christians, you know, you've heard people describe others, that guy is a Christian. How do you know that? Because he's always seeking peace, and he's pursuing it, and he's making other people happy by his conduct. He's getting away from evil. He's doing good. He rules his tongue well, and he doesn't speak out of turn. He doesn't speak out of turn. And so peace comes to those people that go out and aggressively pursue it, aggressively seek that peace, and they pursue that peace. Those are the individuals that are following the prescription that God has set forth for happiness. Now, we've heard what men have had to say. Men have had to say it's all about pleasure. It's all about having a pocket full of money. It's all about having a fat wallet. It's all about having a big bank account. It's all about having cars and houses and a beautiful wife. And if you don't like that one, you just kick her out and go get you another one. And all of these things are extremely temporary, and there are no people there that have true happiness.
Exactly. How many of these movie stars that have all this money have had divorce after divorce, or have gone to, like, Howard Hughes? You remember Howard Hughes? Very wealthy, but he ended up being a very unhappy man in solitude in a building, you know. And we have people who, movie stars, who commit suicide. Where's the happiness and all of that wealth and fame?
Well, truly, you don't know any happy people, genuinely happy people, that have to resort to alcohol and drugs to find their happiness.
Exactly.
That alcohol and drugs, all that is a big masquerade for being happy when you're an unhappy person. If you're a happy person and you're as happy as you're going to be by going through God's prescription here, why in the world would you want to alter anything like that?
So, David, if we listen to what God has to say,
and we
control our speech, and we order our conduct, and we promote peaceful relationship, what does the psalmist say will be the result of all this?
Well, the very first thing he says is a very positive thing, and it's verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. Now, the eyes of the Lord, the favorable eyes of the Lord, are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. Now, that word grace, all in the world that means is favor. The favor of God are upon the righteous. Those individuals that do those things that are right according to God, not right according to man, but right according to God, his eyes look upon them with favor and grace, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Now, what greater peace of joy and security can you have knowing that the creator of the universe is listening to little old me?
How happier can you get?
I don't know how
knowing that God is favorable toward you.
Right, right.
You know,
so this is the result.
You know, when you're a little child, you know, and you're a young kid and you do something that really pleases your father.
Mm-hmm.
How happy does that make a little child?
Oh, it makes him extremely happy.
Well, how much happiness, then, can we have knowing that we've done with the Lord and now his eyes are upon us?
Mm-hmm.
He's listening to us. He's pleased with us. That is a result of happiness. That is the resulting happiness that we have by doing what we just talked about in the previous part of this program.
Now, the very next verse there, Tom, talks about what happens to those individuals who would refuse the prescription of happiness that God gives us here. Mm-hmm. In verse number 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how negative is that?
God is against that.
Absolutely.
That would make me unhappy.
No doubt.
And so if we're not hearing God's laws mm-hmm. and abiding by them and controlling our speech and our conduct and promoting peace, God is going to be against us. There's no happiness there.
Well, you can't win. There is no way that you can live your life against God and actually think that you're going to win that battle. You cannot win the battle. Not only are you going to be unhappy, not only are you going to be separated from happiness, but you can't win. It's a battle that you will never, ever win. And so here we see the positive and the negative. The positive is twofold. You're going to have favor of God. He's going to look upon you with favor. He's going to listen to your prayers. And the opposite side of that, if you do not do this, not only are you going to be unhappy, but he says he's going to be against you because you're doing evil, and he's going to cut you off from the remembrance of them from the earth.
Exactly. And so, David, for us to enjoy happiness, we do what God says. We've already talked about that in the first part of the
mm-hmm.
program. If we will do this, not only does God open unto us, his eyes are toward us, but you'll notice in verses 17 through 19, his favor is being extended in two ways. It's mentioned twice in verse 17 and verse 19. And then in another way in verse 18,
mm-hmm.
we have happiness. Notice there, verse 17, he says, the righteous cried, and Jehovah heard, and here's where the happiness comes, and delivered them out of all their troubles.
Well, when you're delivered from your troubles, the only reason a person would be unhappy was because he would have troubles.
Mm-hmm.
If we're delivered from our troubles, then we're going to be delivered right into the lap of happiness.
Exactly. Now, we're not saying that we will never be unhappy.
No.
But we don't have to stay there.
No.
God helps us get out of that doldrum. He helps us to get out of depression. He helps us to flee anxiety, and we can always come back to happiness because we know we have a God there who will deliver us out of all of our troubles.
Now that is a promise that, why would anybody pass that promise up? If God says he can deliver you out of the troubles, you better believe it.
You know, you all heard the old saying, David, misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people want to drag you down with them because
right.
they're unhappy and they don't want to reside in God's word. They're having struggles. They want to bring you down.
Well, have you ever noticed that drunks don't want to be around sober people?
You
know, they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting happy the only way that they know how. They think they're getting happy, but actually they're just throwing trouble on top of trouble there. But not only do drunks not want to be around sober people don't want to be around drunks, and drunks don't get it.
That's right. So we learn here that the righteous cried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the righteous, those people who hear and control their speech and their conduct and are looking for people peaceful relationships.
Right.
They are delivered out of their troubles.
And then verse number 18, he says, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, there's no telling how many broken hearts there are in this world, and there are no telling how they got that way. But as we mentioned at the very first of this lesson here tonight, those individuals who refuse to rule their speeches, those individuals who can't control their own speeches through angry words or the evils of speaking falsehood and vulgarity and profanity and fault-finding and the evil of slander and sowing discord and telling half-truth, those individuals break more hearts than anybody that you can talk about.
Exactly. But God,
mm-hmm.
when we obey His will, when we do the things He's been telling us, He can mend those broken hearts.
Right.
He can repair us, bring us back to that happiness.
And the broken heart and the contrite heart that He's talking about, these are the things that make people so unhappy. You've never seen a person happy that has a broken heart. But God can fix that. Now, verse 19 is a very, very important verse that we need to look at here, because verse 19 tells us that we can be happy right in the midst of adversity. We can be in the biggest mess of trouble we've ever seen in our life, and God tells us how it is that we can still be happy, Tom.
Exactly.
Verse 19, for those of you who have your Bibles, it'll be the 34th Psalm, verse 19, he says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Now, what that tells us is, even though that we are righteous, right, according to God, even though we are there, many are the afflictions. Now, these are adversities in general. We go through all kinds of stumbling blocks through our life, and many are the adversities or the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Mm-hmm. You know, there can be happiness in adversity.
Mm-hmm.
He says here that He will deliver us out of how many of them?
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Any difficulty in life, God can bring happiness. You know, it's kind of, I'm reminded of the passage in Romans at chapter 8 and verse 28,
mm-hmm.
where there Paul says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Doesn't that help us to have happiness when we realize that these things, although they may not all be good,
mm-hmm.
but they work together for good?
Right.
That brings me happiness, knowing that God is going to help me through all these things, and in the long run, good is going to result.
Right. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, would write to Timothy, and I believe it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and he says, "All that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." And so, living godly, we're still going to have some adversity. We're still going to be suffering persecution, but here's the promise from God. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so this is how we can be happy even in adversity. And when we look at passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, do you have that pulled up?
Yes.
People really need to get a hold of this, because this is something that even in the toughest of times, God is going to take care of us right here.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God."
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling us, David, that when we have difficulty and God gives us the comfort and brings happiness into our lives, he then tells us, you turn around and you share that comfort with other people so you can bring happiness into their lives. In other words, pay it forward.
Right. Well, it's fascinating to a certain degree, and yet sad at the same time. When you tell somebody, Tom, that their comfort and their deliverance from trouble and their deliverance from adversity, their comfort is going to come through the Word of God, people can't get a hold of that.
Mm-hmm.
That they do not understand where the power of God resides. Paul would tell us where the power of God resides. He says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
You know, I think about the Apostle Paul when he wrote the book of Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people call it an epistle of joy. Where was Paul when he was writing the book of Philippians and James and Colossians?
He was not only in prison, he was in chains.
Mm-hmm.
And he was writing and telling these individuals in the church at Philippi, telling them how joyful he was hearing about their happiness because they were doing the very things that the 34th Psalm told them to do.
How in the world could a person be happy and joyous in that situation apart from God? There is our lesson to be learned.
Right.
There is happiness, always happiness available to those who are in Christ, who are faithful to Him, who are abiding by the will of God.
True. And so when we look at our happy days, when we look at happiness, and for those of you that are out there that are listening, we're running out of time, and if you want to call in, you've probably got one more shot at us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, or you can still get on the chat box. What we see here, and in summation to what we're seeing, what we've talked about tonight, happy days is going to come, number one, when we listen to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That there's where we start, and it can't start without that. You've got to first listen to the Word of God. And then, after we listen to the Word of God, we've got to start making application to what we've heard. And so, number one thing, you want to be happy? Learn to rule your tongue. Number two thing, you want to be happy, learn to order your conduct. And the last thing, if you want to be happy, we're going to be happy when we give our lives to the noble work of making peace and pursuing it.
And you know, David, this peace can never truly come until we're in the right relationship with God.
Absolutely.
And for us to be in that right relationship, you know, sin separates us from God.
Mm-hmm.
The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says sin separates us from God. And so we need to get back, be brought back into that relationship with Him. But for that to start, the very first thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to hear God's words that we've been talking about. And that hearing brings about faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
And we've got to have, without faith, it is impossible, right, to be pleasing to God.
That's what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says. And you mentioned just a moment ago in Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 that sin separates us from God. Now, if you'll think about that and draw yourself a picture, you can put yourself on the right hand, and you can put God on the left hand, and you put sin in the middle, and as long as that sin is in the middle, you cannot be united with God. That sin has got to come out of the way.
Exactly.
And there's only one way to get it out of there, and that is to create faith by listening to the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God. Once we hear the Word of God, once that faith has been created in us, it is then that we've got to make the application to what we hear. We've got to order our conduct into the righteous ways of God and away from the unrighteous ways of the world. And this calls for repentance,
exactly.
Tom.
It's a change of life.
Change of life.
Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, nay, except you repent,
mm-hmm.
you shall all likewise perish.
Right.
And so if we really want this happiness that we've been talking about this hour, we're going to have to change our lives. We're going to have to start doing things God's way and not man's way. Again, you've heard what men have said. Let's listen to what the Bible says. We're going to have to change our life and bring it in tune. Not just be sorry for what you've done, but change your life. And if we're going to be willing to believe in the Lord and repent of our sins, we're also going to be willing and needing to confess to Christ.
Right. Now, Jesus made it crystal clear as long as he was walking upon the face of this earth. In John chapter 8 and verse number 24, he said, you shall die in your sins. Those sins separate you from God. you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not, if you do not have faith that I am the Son of God, then you shall die in your sins. And you're going to have to make that confession. You've got to believe it, and now you're going to have to confess it. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, he says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you'll confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And this doesn't come just by making the verbal confession alone. It comes by ruling our conduct, just exactly what we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. And so the same Jesus who says that we need to believe, the same Jesus who says that we need to be willing to repent of our sins, the same Jesus who says we need to confess his name also said what? That we need to be baptized.
Right.
Mark 16, verse 16, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said.
Right. And when we are baptized, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 tells us that that washes our sin away. That which kept us separated from God is now out of the way, and we can be reunited with God. And we are reunited with God when we are buried into that watery grave of baptism, into the name of Jesus, by the authority of Jesus, for the remission of our sins. When we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, the Lord himself adds us to the body of the saved. He adds us to the church, and thereby we have the relationship that God wants us to have with him.
So the bottom line then is, if we want to have that true happiness, if we want to have that peace that passes all understanding,
right.
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, then we're going to have to be a Christian, be in a proper relationship with him, and be living the Christian life. It's not enough just to be a Christian.
Right.
We're going to have to live the life of a Christian. That brings true happiness.
Right. Now, here's what we can learn from the 34th Psalm and the Psalm. Here's what we can learn. If you are not a child of God, never know the happiness for which you will. There's no doubt about it. You can never know that happiness. You might think you know the happiness. You look on your television, and all they want you to do is buy the beer, buy the car, buy the house, and you'll get the women, and old pleasure is going to be yours, and life is going to be grand, and you'll never see another poor day. That's what the television, that's what men have had to say. Now, God has something altogether different to say than that.
Exactly. And so, when we think about this happiness, true happiness comes by doing things God's way.
Right.
You have heard what men have had to say. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say about true happiness.
And with that, we're going to have to wind up our program because we are out of time. Crash, we appreciate you running the board there, and I want to say one last thing to all of our listeners. God bless America, and God bless our troops, and thank you for listening to the radio program. We'll see you here next week, next Monday. Tom, you got the last word.
Be happy. Follow the Word of God.